Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Manic Candace podcast. It's your girl Candace back at it again with a brand new episode of the podcast. And today we're going to discuss my lawsuit, the TikTok ban, and self-help. So if you haven't been paying attention to my Twitter, which you should, because you would find a lot of information. This song is all over TikTok. It came out yesterday. I'm like obsessed. It's just like, it's so groovy, you know what I mean? Like, million dollar baby. I'm just like, Watch, listen, hold up. The artist is Tommy Richmond. Anyways, I'm getting sued. I'm not sure. That's the thing. I'm still waiting on the papers. I got the threat. And I just want to say, you know, congratulations to the Manic Candace podcast. This is a sign of success. Every great celebrity, every great podcaster, Joe Rogan, Tim Dillon, Kanye West, you know, P. Diddy. I'm just kidding. They all get sued on a daily basis for any little thing. Raise your hand if you've been mentioned on the Manic Candace podcast. Okay, if you don't see it, what I'm looking at, there's probably about 20 hands raised. And they're not threatening to sue me. I'm being threatened to be sued by this one individual that it's just really sad. And I just pity. You know. But I'll see you in court. As you can tell, I'm like refraining from saying a lot because I'm gonna go to court. Duh. I'm just really annoyed. And it's funny. It's funny because it's like, where have you heard ads on this podcast? Like, what money are you gonna get out of this? It doesn't even matter. So I just want to get into my notes. So how has everybody been? I just want to say thank you for rocking with me and thank you for keeping up with me, even though I haven't been updating the past couple weeks or not much this month at all. We only had 2 episodes. I apologize, but the downloads are still there. So thank you so much. Missed you all. I'm sure you missed me. So, hold on, I like this song. I really like this song. I need Molly. Strong. I need good drink. I feel strong. Don't call me Big Poppy. I get big cocky. Big Molly got my wrist rocking. I love this song. And it's Future. You guys know I love Future. Hold on. Just his ad libs. Hold on. I think I need to get tested to see if I'm on the spectrum. I had this thought the other day. I was like, you might be autistic as well. And I'm like, just add another piece in the salad. You know what I mean? Like, What's next? Schizophrenia? Like, I'm sure that's next. Like, that's where things are headed. I'm just kidding. You know, I've been battling mental illness. Well, we all know that. But I've been trying to help myself, like, really get ahead, like, get, like, 2 steps ahead of my mental illness, like, and stay there at all times, if that's possible. So I'm like, what does it look like? So I've been healing myself And what does that look like? So, I'll tell you. I've been doing a lot of somatic workouts. And what, because I have a lot of trauma in my hips. Because when I was traumatized, my response, because I've been reading books, see, I've been reading books on complex PTSD or childhood PTSD, which is when my traumatic event happened, and I carry a lot of trauma in my hips area. So the right side of my hip is like, there's no range of motion as much. Well, there's not a lot of range of motion as the left side. The left side has a complete range of motion, and the, like, I can rotate my hips on the left side without any pain. On my right side, I can't rotate it because there's pain. So if I want to turn to the right or turn to the left or walk or bend or pick something up on my right side, I'm going to feel pain. And so I've been doing a lot of somatic exercises. And somatic means like having to do with like stretching and like healing your lower back and like your alignment of your spine. I don't know if you guys heard that, but that's my neck. Let's see if I can crack anything else. Oh. Yeah. Oh, that was good. Oh, that was good. Okay. Sorry, had to crack my whole back and my whole neck. It's disgusting, but like, I need to start exercising. So I downloaded this AI app called, I don't know what it's called, but it's like all over TikTok. And so I downloaded it, paid for it, and I used it once. Took the fitness test, bitch. I can't even do a squat. I'm so out of shape. And I don't want to be like skinny and out of shape. Because then like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast last night, and he was like, if you can't run away from someone attacking you, trying to kill you, like, what's the point of being alive? And I was just like, damn. That's true. Like, I can't even, like, I did, not yoga, well, I tried to do this yoga pose called the downward dog, where you, like, put your feet down and your hands down, and you like put your butt in the air and your head down. That hurt so bad. And like I was like trying to breathe and like everything in my lower back was just cracking. Like and I feel like all the trauma was just like releasing. But like it was just cracking. It was just like, it was so painful. So I've been doing a lot of like stretching exercises that are like really intense. So I call those somatic exercises, and I've been doing somatic healing. So a lot of hip healing emphasis. I pray I don't need a hip replacement. I think I'm going to go to a professional because there's, I don't want to, like, the other day I was working, right? And I was like, I understand how people get addicted to muscle relaxers, to painkillers. Because of shit like this. Because, like, we sit in an unnatural position all day. Most of us, those of us who work 9 to 5, we're sitting in a chair. That's not natural. Sitting in a chair for 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. And then you go home and then, like, you sleep for 8 hours a night. So you're sitting, you're in an inactive position for 16 hours a day. So in the other 8 hours is spent, what, scrolling? Oh, God. So I just need to make a more of an effort to exercise. I hate exercise. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But like the little amount that I've been doing, that I've been able to do with my back hurting, is just Like, I can see, like, a little line in my right thigh, like where a muscle is, like, muscle definition, that's what you call it. I can start seeing that, starting to see that, and I'm just like, oh, that's nice. It's a nice leg. It's a sexy leg. So, I've been doing a lot of emotional healing as well. I realized that, like, I am not my emotions. And that was kind of a painful thing to realize, because you feel so connected to your emotions. You think that they are you. You think that, how do I explain this? Because to say that you are your emotions is like, well, what does that mean? Your emotions are a reaction to a stimuli. Or so, like a trigger. You know, people would be like, trigger warning. You know, and you see something and then you have a feeling that's not positive. That's why they say trigger warning. You are not your emotions. Because the stimuli that cause your emotion, like, it could be false. It could be, like, you could be watching a movie. And this that being the stimuli, it's a fake setup. You know, there's actors and there's a script and there's cameras and everything and there's a set. But it still affects you in a way because you allow it to. But that just proves to me that you are not your emotions. So I had to detach from my emotions in order to start healing. What am I healing from? I'm healing from a lot of things. My past. Things that I did to people that I now feel remorse for. Things that people did to me that I realized that I have the right to feel some type of way. Because I was such a people pleaser that I didn't give myself permission to give myself justice where it was needed. Like, I allowed myself to stay in spaces where I wasn't tolerated because people were too scared to say anything to me. I don't know. Because, like, once I look back at, like, people I thought were my friends, people I called my best friends, people I thought that I could tell my deepest, darkest secrets to, or just feel comfortable around, people, and people who to the outside world would say we were friends, like best friends, like I'm talking like high school people, you know. I realize now at my big age of 28 that these people didn't fucking like me. Absolutely none of them. None of them. Absolutely not. And it took me, like, a long time to realize that. And, like, it just hit me out of nowhere. Yes, like, I shit you not, like, 3 days ago. I'm like, they didn't like you, Candace. And that's okay. Because you know who likes me? Me. And that's all that fucking matters. And it's finally at this point where I like myself. I think I am dope. And no one can take that away from me. Not even myself. Because I already think that. It's already solidified in my mind. We're listening to Light My Fire by The Doors. It's a 7-minute song. So I apologize if you just don't want to be involved. Hold on, let me text someone really quick. How is everybody's, like, I know we talked about it last episode, but, like, how is everybody's, like, energy been since the eclipse? I've been releasing a lot of pain. And it's been painful. But I've been trying my best to mitigate, like, what is me releasing, what is me healing, and what is a manic episode, and what is depression. It's been hard. You know, my medication for my bipolar disorder got lost in the mail. And I went like 10 days without medication. I got it last night. Yeah, I got it yesterday and I finally took it at night. And I feel so much better. But Thursday this week, I was like at work crying. And I have those days. And you're going to have those days too if you're mentally ill. If you don't have a diagnosis and you have days like that, you're probably dealing with some type of mental illness. Sometimes it goes beyond like PMS if you're a woman, or sometimes it goes beyond a situation. Sometimes you don't need an excuse to feel the way you do if you feel like shit. But to kind of pivot from all of this and to move on to what else I'm healing from, I'm grieving the life that I thought I was going to have as a child. See, when I was a child, I was left alone a lot because I was the only child. So I had, and I still have, the most immaculate imagination that I'm willing to put bet, like, in the world. Like, I can imagine anything. I could focus on something I can imagine. It's like AI, before AI was a thing. Like the generator, like the picture generator, where you can like tell it, I want a, can you draw me a picture of Jennifer Lopez running down the block, a crazy girl with her hair all crazy. and it'll spit it out, but like, so can my mind. My mind can generate images like really fast. Okay, stop, no more bragging about me. But like, I think that part of my brain developed because I was alone, because I had to entertain myself. In my early years, once I started to go to school, that's when I started to get friends and I wasn't so inside my mind. But like at home, I was alone. That's what people don't realize when you're an only child, is that you're alone a lot. Like your only socialization is at school. Because you have no siblings. You have no, like right now I do have siblings. But like when I grew up, there was nobody. So I have a great imagination. Say all that to say this. But I imagined a life that was very extravagant. Very unrealistic. Very, like, if I were just to describe it in a short amount of words, it's like equivalent to winning the lottery, like for my life to turn out how I imagined it. So now I don't feel so bad, because I think that's because I've done my grieving. Like the other night I was crying and I was like, I feel like I have no purpose. I feel like I have, like, what am I doing? What am I doing? What the fuck am I doing? Am I just working? Am I just paying bills? Am I just working, waiting to die, waiting to age? You know? And that reality, because it is a reality. Sometimes I don't like being smart, because you look at things too logically. And you realize, you know, I am just here on borrowed time. You know, and that's the thing that really bothers me about life, is we really don't know how long we're gonna get here. So we better make the most of it and try not to be a bad person. At least that's my philosophy. Hey, I have a philosophy. It took years to develop. Because, like, just a lot of thinking. I realized that it's a trauma response to think, like, for your thinking to become your worrying. And I just been realizing that everything that I do is a trauma response. Like, keeping my room cluttered is a trauma response. Overeating is a trauma response. Oh, hold on, this is a good song. You got it. This is Gwen Stefani. Okay. The girl that you Gen Zers make fun of. This is Gwen Stefani. Oh my god, I asked for this album. Because this is when she went solo from No Doubt. Hold on. Pop Trivia 2000s edition. Okay, so one Christmas, I turned 8 years old. Or I was 8 years old. So this was 2003 Christmas. And so she... Come on, baby, make a U-turn. I see you left your blinker on. You guys know who I do. I got a million never here to make me back at home. Ew, ew. Okay, back to what I was saying. So Christmas 2003, I asked for this album. My mom buys it for me, of course. And, every track is a hit. She's got Hollaback Girl on here. She's got Luxurious on here. She's got Crash. She's got. It's like this is to me this was art pop before art pop was art pop. If like that makes sense. Yeah. I'm gonna paint the album cover because it's so sick. Anyway. L-A-M-B, so get here. A-S-A-P, it's gonna be a party. Okay. So I've also... Well, back to grieving the life that I imagined that I would have as a child. It didn't help that everyone just inflated my ego. Everyone said I was the smartest. Everyone said I was the prettiest, everyone I said, they didn't say I was the fattest, which was true, as I was a little girl. People would say, like, you should be a model, like, as a little child, not as a girl, not as, like, an 8-year-old, but I'm talking, like, 3, 4, 5, people were like, you should, I mean, I was even pushed in, like, auditions for like commercials and like I mean competing against thousands of children for a commercial. They were probably making CP with our audition tapes or something. Like what the because no one got a commercial. Nobody got a commercial, but everybody showed up and we all signed up for lessons. That was the thing. They all sold us out for lessons. So I was in acting lessons. I was in modeling lessons. I was in, like, etiquette lessons. I was in all these type of lessons. And then, like, I think I just realized that, like, the world doesn't like fat girls. So I was just like, I will never be a model. I will never be an actress because actresses and models aren't fat. So I just left that world. So, like, now I'm healing that. Like, I'm healing, like, because I'm healing just the thought that, like, people, like, I guess I'm healing my ego, a broken ego, I guess you could say. I would say that I'm healing a broken ego. Because, like, as a child, when you're just praised like that, and you're just given, and on top of that, you're given everything you've ever wanted without question. Like, you don't have to work for it. Like, I was a brat. I was a spoiled fucking brat. And, like, oh, God. I was entitled. And I thought that life was going to happen for me and I wouldn't have to work for it. And my work ethic, because of, I would say, drugs, because of my drug use, has suffered. Ironically. But just, like, the interruption that it did to my life is what caused a delay in me. Like, how I'm positioned now is how I should have been positioned when I was 21. I have high expectations for, like, a 21-year-old. No, I would say 24. Like, how financially stable I am now. Like, how smart I am at spending. I'm not the smartest, like, but I was pretty dumb. I was really dumb 2 years ago. I was really, really fucking dumb. I mean, like, I'm talking overdraft fees. I'm talking, like, couldn't afford anything because everything was being spent on, like, things that didn't matter and things that were very disposable, like marijuana. Moving on from the grieving, I'm healing how I view and interact in relationships because I think I am the problem half the time in relationships. Like, I look back and I justify why a friendship ended or why a relationship ended, or like a romantic one. And I can't justify it because it's my fault. And like and then I'm stuck there wishing, like, I wish I could fix it. Like, I wish I could go talk to this person. I wish I could say hello, but I can't because I did this. So I'm not just healing how bad I feel about it, like the remorse part. I'm just healing the root of the cause of the problem. Like, okay, well, how do you interact in relationships that's causing you to have them end in the first place? So how I'm doing this, you guys, is like self-help books and like things like that. I'm healing my inner critic. I'm healing my need for external validation. I'm healing the way I talk to myself with negative thoughts. All of this work the past, I would say, 2 months. Or 3 months since, like, February, I would say. No, 2 months. It's April. It's resulted in a decrease in the consumption of marijuana. Like, my overall consumption has decreased, like, at least, like, 25%. Like, a good 25 to 35% a decrease. I'm not... My overeating has decreased. Because I would, like, soothe myself with, like, excess and, like, excess food, you know? And I had this really, really bad creative block that is finally coming undone because I have a painting that I started last night and I'm going to go and finish once I upload this episode. Hold on, you guys need to hear this. This life is more than ordinary. Can I get you maybe even three of these? Coming from a space to teach you what the Pleiades. Can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read through. That was like so deep. Anyway, we're almost done here, guys. I miss you so much. Marijuana is a crutch for me, so I'm glad that, like, me healing myself is, like, you know, and me healing myself is, like, all instinctual. I don't have anyone telling me what to do. I'm just kind of winging it. I'm buying books. I can share with you what books I'm buying. And in like a future episode, or maybe I can break it down where like all the books, all my self-help books or like something like that. Oh, baby, it's alright, then you ain't got a flaws for me. Thank you for listening. I was gonna get into like something else, but we hit our 30 minute mark. I really missed you guys. I really promise I'm gonna try harder not to be away for May. But this is the season of the witch. It's the season of the mania, season of depression, at least for me. So just help me hang in there, pray for me, you know, send me good vibes. And thank you for listening. Please share this episode with your friends, family, and your followers. And I bid you adieu. Bye-bye. Oh, baby, it's so red now. You ain't got a flaws for me. Told you, you can still touch my nuts free. We can work without the quirks, it's you and me. She said we can work without the perks. Get it? Get it? Okay, just me? Okay. All right, bye. Oh, I realized we didn't talk about the TikTok ban. So really, really quick. Really, really quick. The TikTok ban isn't about safety or control. It's about money. No American company can share any money from it or profit any money from it. Because it's an app based in Singapore owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance. Politicians want to own it and profit off the shares. They want, cause like they would be the first ones to be able to buy. Like if TikTok sells to the US, which means to a US company, which like the government would have like control of the company or would have some type of like stake in the company. Or they would regulate the company to make them give them money or make or sell to members of like Congress or something. Like for example, Nancy Pelosi, she's famous for this. She's absolutely famous for like pumping and dumping stocks and making millions of dollars like on a weekend because she pumped and dumped a stock. Allegedly. Don't want fucking Nancy Pelosi and her husband fucking coming after me. Oh my god, all these lawsuits, can't take it. It's just me and my vibrator against the world, you guys. But yeah, the TikTok ban, it's about money. And if it's the most popular app and it's keeping Americans on their phone for an average of 90 minutes a day just on TikTok, of course they would want to invest in that. And not only control it, but they would want to profit off of the ad revenue. They would want to profit off of your creative fees. People who make money, there's a fee that goes to TikTok. People make a lot of money on TikTok. Just think how much commission TikTok makes off of their creators. And the U.S. is getting none of that. So, just food for thought. And one point that I want to make, too, is that there's going to be the next new and popular social media platform. And whatever that's going to be, it's currently being formulated right now. I guarantee that. It's the race is on, but like whatever it's gonna be, you're gonna have a chance to like go viral. You know what I mean? You're gonna have a chance to like be famous or be whatever famous, whatever the name of the app is. You know, so think about it that way and start making content to post and like, you know, if that's your thing, if that's what you wanna do, like get ready because you're gonna have a chance to be popular because it's like a race. Anyway, that's all I had. Thank you for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Mannequinist Podcast. Bye-bye.